Good morning. John, you and Brady going to do the do? Yep. Does he know this? Yeah, that's good. Good. Excellent. And he made reference earlier to folding money when you're giving your donation to the youth group. Of course, that means a £20 note because the 5 and the 10 don't fold anymore. Yeah, that's right. Something I found out in retail the hard way. Right. The reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah. And it's not very long, but it is very important. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And we know how that works out. But here it is again anyway. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And Gabriel came to her and said, Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you. But she was much perplexed by his word and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favour with God, and you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, How can this be? For I am a virgin. The angel said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And Mary said, Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. I'm not going to get into the weeds, obviously, as to whether or not this is biologically or medically possible. But then again, that's the whole point of a miracle. You know, that these things are miraculous. That they happen whether or not they can, whether or not they should, they happen. God wanted it to be so. And so it was. But I want to look at Mary and Ahaz and how each of them respond to God. So here is Mary, young, innocent in the ways of the world, not really knowing much about anything, really, when you think about it. And God sends an angel to speak to her and to say, This is going to happen to you. And Mary's first reaction is to say, How can this be? How can this be? For I am a virgin. Which is, when you think about it, a quite sensible reaction. How can this be? How can this possibly be? And God reassures her that it will happen in this way, and important things will happen because of it, and consequential things will happen because of it. And Mary says, "Here I am, a servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your will." Or if we may put it in more modern language, bring it on. Mary is willing, open to the possibility of God working in her, of God working with her, of God doing mighty and magnificent things through her. It's a bit startling, it's a bit confusing, but Mary thinks about it. Remember, in the early chapters of Luke, twice we are told that Mary ponders, which is a great word. I love it. It's not merely that she thinks about it, it's that she thinks over it. She thinks deeply about the things that God has brought to her. Shepherds wandering in at all hours of the night. Kings. Things. And the baby will be the Most High. The throne of David will be his. Of course she's confused. Of course she's frightened. Of course she's concerned. But she still says yes. She still says yes. She still says, "Let it be with me." What God says seems impossible, because it is. What God says seems complicated, because it is. It seems challenging, it seems far-reaching, and it is. God isn't asking for something straightforward. God isn't asking for something easy. God isn't asking for something conventional. I mean, we take it for granted because, you know, we've been hearing this story all our lives. But God turned Mary's world upside down. God has a difficult task for Mary. And Mary says, "How can this be?" God reassures, God responds, and Mary takes this on board. "Let it be with me according to your word." God speaks to Ahaz, and what happens there? Not quite the same. Paul, could you put the words up again? First bit. Thank you. Can we go right back to the start? Thank you very much indeed. So God speaks to Ahaz. Who is Ahaz, by the way? King. Ahaz is king of Judah at the time. And if you read the rest of Isaiah chapter 7, he's not one of the great ones. But he is facing challenges. He is facing invasion. He is facing conquering armies from other directions. And the prophet Isaiah is there and speaking to him. And God speaks to Ahaz and says, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights." Not really much plainer than that, can you be? God says to Ahaz, "Go on then, ask me. Ask me for a sign. Ask me how it's going to be." And Ahaz says, "I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test." And that seems sensible. That seems pious. That seems correct. You know, I will not put the Lord to the test. How dare you? You know, I will not. But it's what God asked him to do. God says to Ahaz, "Ask me for a sign." And Ahaz says, "I will not." God cannot put it much simpler, much more straightforward. Ask me for a sign. Ask me how it's going to be. And Ahaz says, oh, I don't like to. I don't want to. I don't think I should. How can I put this? God asked him to ask. God wants him to ask. God almost needs him to ask, so that he's heard himself say the words. You know this. We talk about this often. You know, why do we pray when God already knows what it is we want to pray for? And part of the answer is so that God hears us know what it is we want to pray for. So that God hears us acknowledge our need. Ahaz is facing challenges and difficulties from all sides. The land is confusing. The people are revolting in more than one sense. 52% of them want this, 48%. Anyway, right.
And his wife's not helpful.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun, read it. And so God says, ask me for a sign. Say the word, say it out loud. And Ahaz says, well, I don't think I should. Next verse. And Isaiah says to Ahaz, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you now also try the patience of God? It is a time of difficulty. It is a time of challenge. Ahaz is trying the patience of men. The people are fed up. Could he just get on with it, whatever it is? Happens to be some sort of solution, possibly. Could we take a vote?
Not another one.
No. Well, just one, maybe. Isaiah says, is it not enough that you try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of God also? All right, says Isaiah, says God. You haven't asked me for a sign, but I'm going to give you one. Anyway, I am going to do what needs to be done, even if you can't quite work up the energy. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Ahaz is not open to the possibilities of God. Mary, we see, is. And she's not alone in this. Through the Bible, we see people who are open to the possibility. Some of them doubt. Some of them have questions. Some of them need help from others. But they're still open to the possibility of God doing stuff. Ahaz is not. But God is going to do it anyway. And it may not be what Ahaz wants. And it may not be what Ahaz is able to cope with. And he may not even be alive to see it happen. Spoiler, he isn't. But God does what he said he was going to do. That'll be the phone. And Mary is open to this. Mary is willing, able. And the child is born. And he is called Emmanuel. And those of us who've been doing this long enough, we know what Emmanuel means. God with us, which is tremendous. Not merely God above us or in an ancient book, but God with us, living the life, walking the walk, sharing the conversations. Look at what Jesus does in the Gospels. Look at what Jesus does. He tells stories. He asks questions. He performs miracles. And through those things, through those not simple, but through those basic things, God's word is carried to as many people as he can. And then through the disciples and through the book of Acts, further and further and further, Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the earth. And in the book of Acts, some of you will know, in chapter 10, that's twice now, in the book of Acts, in chapter 10, Peter encounters God. Obviously, Peter has encountered God and Jesus quite a few times up to this point. But he is hungry, and he is on the roof having a vision. In a trance, it says in chapter 10. Chapter 10 of the book of Acts, for those of you leaping to it. It was about noon the next day, and they were on their journey and approaching the city. Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and he wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heavens opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners, and in it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. And he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have eaten nothing that is profane or unclean." And the voice said to him again, "What God has made clean, you must not call unclean." This happened three times, and then the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. I love that. It's in this translation, it's what it calls it, the thing. And Peter was greatly puzzled what to make of the vision that he had seen, when suddenly the men sent by Cornelius appeared. You see what's happening there? For those of you who know the story of Cornelius. Cornelius is not a Jew. Cornelius is not one of the chosen few. Cornelius is not a man of faith. But he is one who wants to be. And Peter is sent a vision saying, be open to the possibility. Look beyond what you think you know. Look beyond what you've done before. Look before the ways that have served you up to now. Because something different is going to happen. Something unconventional. Something beyond your previous experience, but not beyond mine. And at the end of chapter 10 of the book of Acts, Peter speaks to Cornelius and then says, verse 34, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." It's not about the conventional. It's not about doing the same as we've done before. It is about taking things beyond this. And that's been God's message from the start. To Ahaz in the Old Testament, to Mary in the Gospels, to Peter in the Acts, and beyond and beyond and beyond. Take what you know, work with it, and then think beyond that. Think beyond, think outside you know, in marketing and things like that, they talk about thinking outside the box. And it's a cliche and it's a terrible thing to keep saying, but it is a basically good idea. There's the box that constrains your thinking, because that's conventional, because that's the stuff you know, because that's the stuff you've done before. Now go beyond. Now go outside. Now reach out. Now make welcome. Now do new stuff. Sing new songs. Try new ideas. It's never too late. It's never a bad idea to try something new. Doesn't work? Don't do it again. It's not rocket surgery. Try going beyond the conventional. Try going beyond the possible. Try being open to what God might do next. Peter learned this. Mary held it in her heart. How about us? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are Emmanuel. You are with us. So lead us. Show us. Open the doors. Point us towards the possibilities. Help us to walk with you. To walk your path wherever it may lead. And if that place is new and unfamiliar, then you are with us. And we can hold on to you. Walk with us, Lord. Keep us by your side. By the power of the Spirit. For the glory of the Father.